Well, today we are looking at continuing on the series of Go and Bear Fruit or Come Away With Me. Jesus, after the disciples, he had sent them out two by two. When they came back, they had a lot of great things to report, and the people and the crowds and all that. And Jesus said, okay, come away with me. And on that scenario of going away and spending time with Jesus has been the focus of our sermon, for the last few weeks. Today, it's John 15:16. It is not that you have chosen me, but it is I who have chosen you. You know, that's one of those texts that I remember thinking over in high school and college, you know, sitting in the dorm and saying, okay, God, you chose me. Okay, now what? It was kind of in a unique situation. My two good friends were fraternity, and it was kind of the drunk group. So they always wanted me to join. And they said, don't worry, you won't have to do any of that stuff. We want you to be part of our group. So I didn't join. But it was, you know, in that setting, you know, I remember reading this scripture, and what is it you want me to do? And it was the next year that God called me to go to Bible school and seminary and, you know, become a pastor. So it's not funny, but it's kind of how the things come together for where we are at, and the scripture comes and speaks to us. And that becomes the challenge, that the scriptures speak to us, and they can be the same text that we've read 100 times, but then on one occasion, it like, oh, this is what the fulfillment of that is. And recently, as we've been, well, we celebrated 50 years of being ordained and, you know, those types of things, and it's like, oh, I guess it is a long time. And being asked to speak at the National Chaplains Conference, oh, wow, that's a pretty big deal. And so I went out and told them all what they should do. No, I didn't do that. But it was interesting because after so long, you know a lot of people. you just pray that your influence has had a positive effect upon them. And that's kind of what this section deals with. We went over it last week, and so those of you who were here last week, you heard part of it. So those of you who weren't here, those of you who were, yeah, we can listen to it again on tape. So anyhow, the Christian life isn't simply come, rest, and stay, okay? It's like sometimes we think of being away, spending time with God is like going on vacation. You know, you lay in the beach, you get sunburned, you know, you go out and eat, get in the ocean, you know, it's too cold, you get back on the beach. You know, that we're what is it called? Glaxon? Glen, what's it called? Whenever you're camping and it's... glamping, that's it. When you go glamping, that's relaxing with God. No. So glamping, that's the word I'm looking for. But so coming away to be with God is not like that. Coming away with God is spending some time to abide in His presence, to receive His word, His blessing, the Spirit, to grow in our spiritual understanding, to go and bear fruit. So everything that God has for us is preparing us for our future. So, you guys, God's preparing you for your future. It doesn't feel like it, but He does. Maybe I've done this before, but too bad. Come on now, you gotta help me. Joke, okay. Whenever I was in high school, probably a sophomore, I decided to go to college. Well, I wasn't on the college track at that time. So I had 3 years to get ready to go to college, and all my friends that were college bound, they were in other classes. So I had to join in with people who were much younger than me. And I felt like the guy in the back of the room with the cap on and that was trying to figure out what all this stuff was about, you know, algebra and trigonometry and all that stuff. And so I figured, why do I have to learn this? And I was right. So I went to college, but it was the second year there that I had one school in mind. It's the only one I applied to, got accepted. And who did I meet the second year? Rhonda. I wasn't even there. She wasn't even there an hour. I got her. And it was about a month or two after that that God called me to go in the ministry. And it was one of those things, as I think back on it, it wasn't something that, like, you heard voices, you know, or you had this. It was just like this impression, like, okay, you know, like I had an impression that I wanted to be a football coach and be all of that and be all that you can be, you know, and, go that route. And then whenever the praying, God changed that to, okay, you had to go that route to get here. Now that you're here, this is the way you're going to go. See, I'd have never went to seminary or never gone to the one that I did go to if I hadn't gone to West Virginia, because the pastor there knew of the school, and the pastor that I had here in Pennsylvania had no idea what it was. So you see how all of those things had to take the initiative to follow the path. And some thought that I would have had a scholarship, but I was too young, playing. I was 17 when I graduated, 16 when I started my senior year, and that wasn't that abnormal back then. But so we look at these things and say, God has chosen us for a specific task. So when God has chosen us, he says, you did not choose me, I chose you. And sometimes we see that life is, we think of life as being a lot of choices. But in reality, there is love God, pray that God would lead you in a direction that is for his will, and then there would be choices underneath that. So seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So you seek God first. And in that pyramid, every one of us puts God at the top in our lives. So you see that, well, God, does God love me more than them or love them more than me? Well, no, we have God as, he's first in our life. If God is first, so nothing makes God love us more or less. He just loves you, even though he knows you. He knows your shortcomings and faults and failures. He knows where, the thing that always was interesting for me, God knows every mistake you're going to make in your future. Okay? He's God. That does not stop him from loving you here. He knows every mistake you've made in the past. That doesn't stop him from loving you here. So no matter what goes on in your life, you are loved by God. Whether it's the future, whether it's the past, don't worry about it. With God, all things are possible. So even if you dye your hair, God will be with you. You're loved. You're lovely. I couldn't resist. There are just some things you just have to do. Yeah. So, I have chosen you. So Jesus is reminding his disciples that their relationship with him began with his initiative. So the disciples follow Jesus because of his initiative. You follow Jesus, you follow God because of his initiative. He puts the desire in our heart to know him. Now, some people cast it aside, they stomp on it, they curse it, they do whatever they can to subdue it. And, one day they'll answer for it. But whenever we have Christ in our life, we are recognizing he has chosen us for a specific task. Now, I did this last week, but did you ever do a pickup team? You know, this, you know, boys, girls, whatever, you know, two teams going to play ball, football, whatever. Two teams, and you're standing in line, okay, they're going to pick me, they're going to pick me. You know, I don't want to be last. But you see, it depends on the team and what you're doing and your skills that somebody else sees. But with God, each one of us is chosen first, because each one of us has a skill that the other doesn't. You have a personality, you have an approach to life, you have a way to encounter people that is different than anyone else on the planet. So therefore, you are called to a particular ministry, a particular skill. And that in this skill, that's where you excel. Now, it can be anything. You know, I spoke about our granddaughter, and she's already a journeyman. I think she's a journeyman. She said she took the test. And, you know, she just got out of school, and that's her path. You know, if that's what God wants her to do, then that's where she needs to go. But, you know, her brother's taking 2 years. Their father took 6 years for a four-year degree. So, that was David, in case you didn't know. He was always just kind of, I think the problem was he just really never settled in on one thing. But if he had settled in on one thing, perhaps he would have never met Jenny, who is now his wife. So even the delays that his dad was upset with, God was not upset. That's exactly where we want him to go. Now, I could have handled a little better if he would call me from Colorado and on the ski slope out on the backside of someplace where, you know, nobody goes, and he's back there skiing, and I said, aren't you supposed to be in school? He said, yeah, but I already took that test. I said, well, where are you staying? You know, it's below zero. Oh, we're sleeping in the car. Oh, yeah, thank you. You know, just wanting to make things good for you. And the worst thing is, he goes to Yosemite to climb El Cap. And he and his friends, says no camping, bear zone. That's where they camp. Because it wasn't crowded. You know, they just backed into a spot and pulled everything out, went to sleep. I says, you went to sleep? You know? And so, you know, but that was just him. And where did he go? He went to El Salvador. Where did he go in El Salvador? He went out in the middle of nowhere. And whenever they brought in teams to stay in the churches, they had to clean the snakes out of the rafters. I'm not going. I didn't go there. But that was just him. That is his personality. And so we find that his personality, God had him called for a specific purpose. Well, his kids have it different. I have it different. So each of us have it different, and God is taking us along the path because he chose you. That's so important to know. No matter what goes on in life, no matter what happens in life, God has chosen you. You failed, God has chosen you. He didn't choose you to fail. He's chosen you to serve him. So, being chosen carries a purpose. He has ordained you, meaning that he has predetermined. This is the part I like. He has in you everything you need to be the person that he wants you to be. Everything's in there. Now we have to hone the skills and, you know, pull the things out and learn how to do things, but he's got that skill set inside of us to become the person that he wants you to be. And it's all there. So he has chosen you. He has a purpose for you, for where you are going. Excuse me. Jesus starts his work in us right where we are. You know, we need to go. No, you don't need to go anywhere. Start where you're at, focus on God, allow God to speak to you. Okay, that's the first part. The second part is you are appointed. You were chosen, and also you are appointed. You are appointed and ordained you that you should go. You are appointed to a specific task. Jesus moves from identity, you are chosen, to an assignment, I ordained. Now, I've been ordained 50 years. That means to be very old. All right? So, being ordained is we were ordained by the denomination, Assemblies of God, into ministry. Yes, that's what it is, 76. Yeah, MapQuest even has my date of my birth, probably. Does it tell people to send presents? So, anyhow, but those are the things that God has for us. And he knows exactly where we are. So you are ordained, not as a minister, but you are ordained for a specific purpose. I chose you and I ordain you to a specific purpose. So in the ministry, you are ordained for ministry in this denomination. Now, for our denomination, there is a Christian workers, there's a license, and then there's ordination. So you generally have to jump through all the hoops first. And that's good, because some people don't make it. they have good intentions, but they fall away from their walk with God. So Jesus moves from identity to assignment. You are chosen and you are appointed. So the word ordained carries the idea of being placed, or you are commissioned for a purpose. So when God chooses you, he doesn't choose you to do nothing. I'm chosen of God. I'm going to relax and wait for God to come for me. No, it's not that. What else? So in other words, Jesus is saying, I have something for you to do. I have something for you to do. I created you, and it wasn't to go sit on the beach. I remember one guy said, this is up in Maine. The guy said, well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to lay down by the river, kick the fruit trees, and sit there and eat apples all day. I said, okay, that's a big thing. That's a goal. We can get behind. No, it isn't. So anyhow, a spectator watches what God is doing, but a disciple is, Lord, where do you want me to go? And is doing what God wants us to do. For David, I don't know why I'm picking on him today, but he wanted to go to graduate school, get his master's. So whenever he is in El Salvador, he applied to Eastern University. Eastern University is in Philadelphia. So we thought, good, he's going to be back in the States. Nope. out of the country, students go to South Africa. So he was in Johannesburg, South Africa. And so what did he do whenever he's in Johannesburg, South Africa? He went surfing at the bottom of South Africa, which is the most infected shark place in the world, and he's surfing with the sharks. Fortunately, after three or four times of surfing and seeing as many sharks as he did, he quit. But he met Nelson Mandela. He had him in his class, and he says, what was most important, he said there were 23 nations in his class. And he said, wow, it was such an experience of being able to go and hear what these other people have and their perspectives of life and of the United States and of, where their ministries and so on. He said that was the most wonderful thing he'd ever experienced. So sometimes, here we are, we're doing our thing, and God is doing his thing in the process. God is moving on our hearts, he's moving on our lives, and we don't worry, You don't have to worry about anything, pray about everything, and know that God is going to take care of it. So we are set in his presence. He has called us. He knows exactly where we are. He knows exactly what you can do. My roommate from college, in seminary or Bible school, he came to the session that I did for chaplains. And one of the things I did was have people pick a word that was important to them at that moment. And his word was surprised. He said he never thought that his roommate would write a book and be teaching a lesson at a national conference. And so was I surprised. No. But so, you see, they had no idea that that would happen. Even my high school friends, you know, they hadn't a clue what, but they used, at that time period, you know, for me, you're just existing, doing what you have to do to get through it. And, you know, I didn't enjoy it. Rhonda enjoyed school. When we took Rachel to first grade over here, she walks in, they had those wooden floors, you know, and then they had that stuff you spray on the floor and brush it around to pick up all the dirt. And I said, "Oh, smells like a school." She goes, "Yeah, smells like a school." She loved it. Not me. So Jesus does restore us, but restoration is not the destiny. Jesus, he forgives us, we confess our sins, he forgives us, lives within our heart, and we have his growth and his blessing upon our lives. So, and he restores us to what we would have been without the fall, without the sin. So we're restored. Now, but restoration prepares us for an assignment. You see, we're just not restored, we are restored and assigned. You know, I've chosen you to do, to go and do. So when we're doing our work, it isn't like, okay, you're working where you're at, I got to sell it all and go to Africa. No, that's not. Generally, that's not what he's saying. But I remember the lady who was in church here, she was Florence Byers, and she spent 50 years in Japan. And in the war, she was in Hawaii with the Japanese in the encampments there. And when she was 18 years old, somewhere in her 18 or 20, she got on a boat and took her, 4 months to get to Japan. She knew no one. Had one contact that she was going to meet in Japan. And she went there because she felt God called her. And she spent 50 years there taking care of kids in an orphanage. That is faith. So you see, called, purpose. So sometimes we are called to go and do things. Sometimes we do things and we don't do well at them. So we learn something. So it doesn't mean it's a failure. It means that God's purpose continues to evolve in us. He continues to work in us, you know, going through all the classes in high school and all that I didn't like, then going to college and you know for secular school and doing the stuff I didn't like, and I wanted to play football and it didn't work, so I was just, oh, that's terrible. But one of the things, Rhonda didn't call me, the coaches that I tried out for and made the team and all that. And they came to Rhonda and says, "Where's that boyfriend of yours?" And he said, "Well, he's in Rhode Island." And she says, "Well, why?" He says, "Well, I'll give him a scholarship if he'll show up." She never called me. That's why I'm here. Why I've been in the ministry for 50 years. Because if she had called me, I'd have left. Because I had a higher calling. I was going to play football and be a coach. That didn't work. So anyhow, God had a higher calling, which is the calling of serving him. So the thing is, you can look back over things and you can see how God brought you to where you're at. The road goes off and down, up and down, and whatever, making mistakes and doing good things, and then the bottom falls out. life is life. You know, life happens. And sometimes it's just devastating, you know. Sometimes it's miraculous. But see, every time you are safe in the hands of your Father. No matter what happens in life, we approach life from a place of safety and security. You see, perhaps we're appointed to be an encourager. Perhaps you are appointed to be a leader in your family or in your community. Perhaps you are appointed to a workplace, appointed to a neighborhood, appointed to a hospital, appointed to a school district, appointed to government. The appointment that we have is one in which God stirs that appointment inside of us and we strive towards it for the character of Christ in our life. Remember, you are chosen. You are chosen by God Himself to be His child. And whatever direction He leads you, you must know that you are chosen and that nothing can separate you from Him. Nothing. Not one thing. Failure, success, God will always be there for you. I have not chosen you, and I have chosen you, and I have appointed you. So don't underestimate where God has a place for you. Never underestimate the place where God has for you. Because where you are at is the place that God wants you to be. If it weren't, you wouldn't be there. And so you are there under a divine commission, under a divine appointment. And there you are called, and the third part is, to be fruitful. And then the scripture says that you are to be fruitful and that your fruit would remain. Do you know what that means? The fruit that people pick from your life is going to influence them and bring them to Christ, and that your fruit will remain into eternity. These people God has called you to are going to be in heaven because of you. No, it's in Christ, but you have followed His mission. You have followed His purpose. You see, go forth and bear fruit. We bear fruit by loving, forgiving. The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, forgiveness, and compassion. Those are the things that are growing in our life, and the Holy Spirit is causing them to come together in you. Because that's the Spirit of God that is alive in you, and He has chosen you, and He is enabling you, and He is working with you, through you, and we've got a purpose so that whenever we show up at heaven, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know, you're going to show up in heaven. God's going to say, well done. That's our goal. So in the meantime, we keep doing the things that we're doing, placing our hand to the difficulties that are in front of us and applying ourselves to the task to become the person that God has called us to be. Amen. Oh me, oh my. Let's all stand, shall we? I like this part. It says, we don't bear fruit so Jesus will love us. We bear fruit because Jesus already loves us. We don't serve in order to earn His acceptance. We serve because we have already been accepted. We don't love others so that God will love us. We love others because we have experienced His love. And Jesus says that your fruit should remain, that those that you touch will be in heaven with you. Your fruit will remain. So what we do for God is follow His path, His purpose, ask for His direction, ask for the open doors. Ask for God to lead and guide us. And it's for us, it's always been that you go to a certain place and, oh, there it is. You know, we went to, well, anyhow, when we came here, a minister, Clayton Gaiman, was retired, starting the chaplaincy, starting the hospice program, pastoral care. He said, I know your family. He'd been with him in Indiana, PA, and he says he wanted me to help him. Rhonda we weren't even here. The first Sunday we were here, she got a call to go to Central City and be a sub teacher. First Sunday, people were waiting for us. Now they're waiting for us to leave. But anyhow, but the idea is that God opens those doors, and sometimes we don't even know they're opened. And God opens them. So we open our heart first and then follow God's leading, which is to love, forgive, don't let bitterness in, keep that hatred out, discouragement. So don't let the disc, discouragement, don't let the disc eat your courage. So Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that touches our lives. God, you are the most special person, the most special individual that we will ever know. Your grace and your mercy are beyond our understanding. That you love us more than we would ever know, more than we can ever express, but you love us. So thank you for choosing. Thank you for placing your hand upon our life. That we see your word that you did not choose me, but I chose you. Jesus, thank you for choosing us. Thank you that our heart is open to you. We ask your blessing to be upon us, upon our families. Lord, we thank you for the net of blessing that shall be brought into our lives. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. The net of blessing, that was from Sunday school. you're ready to go home, but anyhow, the prophet spoke about the hook. He talked about the net for two people, throw the net out, 10, and then the dragging the net, which is hundreds of feet long between two ships, and they catch fish that way. Well, in our life, God is dragging the net towards us, full of blessings and guidance and purpose, and it's just going to bless you off your socks. Amen. Amen.